Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 12 after. Folks, I know you're tired of hearing this song, but I like it. The good news is you only have to hear it maybe, what is it, about three times? What is it, Roger? Three more times this week. Three more this week.
I'm so happy for you, baby.
Of course, it is the end of the week, but we've had some fun with this, celebrating our 7th anniversary, and I want to thank all of you for being part of that, and especially our good friend, Bill Hubbard, who's with us right now. William S. Hubbard is our guest, and just one of the great members of our Brain Trust, and someone who's been with me almost as long as we've been, as we've had our business here, our Small Business Advocate Show on the air, and he's just a tremendous resource for you and me, ladies and gentlemen, as a human resource professional. He's the author of one of the great books on workplace privacy, The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. He's also a medical privacy and security expert, and he's written a book on that too called The Medical Privacy Rule. But the thing that I'm the most proud of is that he's my friend. Bill Hubbard, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. That's a kind of a tall order to step into the shoes that you've just described.
And well, it's all true, and I mean it, especially the last part. And I appreciate you being here to help us celebrate our 7th anniversary.
Well, let me begin by saying congratulations on 7 successful years.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Let's have 7 more. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Bill, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is something that I think is really underreported today. I think it's a force. I think it's a dynamic. It's happening in the marketplace that a lot of people don't realize. Maybe that's good because it's kind of happening quietly, but I do think it's growing, contrary to maybe some of the research that's out there, and that's teleworking.
Well, it is. Teleworking, telecommuting, working from home, whatever kind of label or identification we want to put on it, but it's an activity that has grown over the last 10, 15 years, and it continues to grow in two areas. One is in terms of individuals in an employment relationship, which is really the focus of our discussion today. The other area that kind of relates to this is there's a lot of people working as independent contractors mm-hmm. on their own, and many of them are working from home as well. But our focus today is really more for how should an employer deal with his employees
right.
who might be working from home.
Well, see, I call those independent – you know what I call those independent contractors, don't you, Bill?
I'm sure you've told me at the moment
Small business owners.
There you go.
They just don't know it yet.
That's right.
No, I mean, they are. I mean, in every way, if they're an independent contractor, they're a small business owner. And if they're working from home, they're a home-based business owner.
That's right.
But that's a different segment of the marketplace than we're talking about.
Right.
You're talking about people who have an official employment relationship who either part-time or full-time do some work in their assignment at home.
That's right.
Yeah, that's where we are right now, and I like the teleworking term a lot. There, as you mentioned a couple of others, telecommuting, but I like the teleworking. I just think that's a good catch-all phrase to use, a term to use. Now you've got some research, haven't you? You brought some research to the show to tell us about what people are saying about this.
Well, one source of information that I came across with recently was the Society of Human Resources Management. And they had conducted a survey, and some of the information that they had identified in this was that about 36% of firms offer working at home or telework relationships with their people on a part-time basis. Mm-hmm. So there's a pretty significant number. Almost over a third of firms are doing this at least on an occasional or part-time basis. Another category is 19% are doing this on a full-time basis.
Mm-hmm. 20% 20% of firms permit. That's not to say that 20% of people, this is not to say that that's how many people are working from home. It's just
right.
how many firms allow it if it should come up.
Right. That's the better way to describe it.
Well, no, it's not better. I wanted to make sure people understood. Because when I looked at that, I thought, wow, 20% of America works from home, and that can't be right. But the thing is, Bill, one of the things that apparently they found, if I understand this correctly, is that they seem to think that there hasn't been any great increase in the last few years, that it's been a slow and steady growth. Is that right?
That's what the SHRM data reported, is that the increase has been occurring slowly, but it has not kept pace with the degree of changes in technology that allow this type of work practice really to be very effective. So there's a lot of changes occurring in terms of how people can communicate back and forth between the office. But the degree of employees that are utilizing this resource has mm-hmm. not grown as quickly as those technological changes.
Well, you know, one of the things that really gave teleworking a shot in the arm, believe it or not, was 911.
Well, that's true.
All those people that were displaced by 911 in New York went home with their laptops, and the boss said, "I'll call you when we get the office open back up."
Mm-hmm.
And they went home and they continued to work, and they IM'd and they emailed and they worked online and all that. And when the boss called 6 months later and said, "Okay, we found new offices, we're all squared away, and we got your name up on your door here, you know, you can come back Monday," and they said, "Uh-uh." "What do you mean, uh-uh?" "Well, we've done fine the last 6 months. I like not having to commute from New Jersey."
That's right.
And the boss said, and the boss had to admit, "Well, you know what? I wouldn't have believed it before, but we actually have been effective this way."
That's true.
And so thousands of people who weren't teleworking before are now teleworking. And so anyway, I think I've been saying that in a perverse way, 911 gave teleworking a shot in the arm.
Well, there's always good and bad to a lot of these issues, a lot of these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But drawing good from that experience, I think, is the key thing we need to learn from it. And
right.
Here is one example that firms recognize that, yes, they can succeed. And this has also opened up a lot of issues in terms of other alternative ways to get work accomplished and ways to be more flexible to accommodate employee needs as well.
Well, exactly. And I want to go ahead and we're coming up on a break. Go ahead and give us one example.
If somebody has daycare arrangements, elder care arrangements, or if there's an individual with a particular kind of a disability, then working from home can be one effective way to accommodate those kinds of circumstances.
Right. One of the things we have to remember, folks, is when we find good people, we want to hang on to them. And one of the things that happens to these good people sometimes is life happens to them. Their lives can change. And if you want to keep good people, thank God we have the technology today to allow you to keep those good people in many assignments, with even though you know their life has changed. And we're going to talk about this some more and how to manage all that. Bill Hubbard's going to help us with that right after these messages, 20 after. Stay with us. It's 23 after the hour. Bill Hubbard is our guest, our good friend William S. Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, and his newest book is Medical Privacy Rule, The Medical Privacy Rule, right, Bill?
Yes, it is.
There's a "the" in front of there, isn't there? And tell us about your website and all the goodies that we can find there.
Well, I've got a couple of websites that are up. One is Hubbard.com, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T, Hubbard.com, and that's my human resources side of my business. And there's a little flashing button on there that identifies a medical privacy issue. And you can work your way through there, and you'll end up at another website of mine that's medicalprivacy.info. And on that one, we have information in e-commerce that provides details about medical privacy, medical security, and books and CDs that I have available that address those areas.
Privacy and security, folks. It's what's the third leg of this stool going to be?
The third leg is security.
Yeah.
And in fact, some of the issues we were talking about a moment ago about 911 and so on, mm-hmm. this whole security issue, and in fact our topic today, working from home, opens up the issue of protecting the security of the electronic information that you're communicating back and forth. So mm-hmm. it's good to have alternative work systems, great to have people working at home, but one of the key issues we need to emphasize is in setting that up, make sure that you have good security
right.
for the information going back and forth because it is confidential. And as I tell everybody on the internet and on the email, you have what I call postcard privacy. So you need to make sure that you're setting up information that you're communicating back and forth, protecting the security of that information.
Right, absolutely. You know, Bill, one of the things that, as I was alluding to as we went to the break, everybody, life happens to everybody. And small business owners, if they're lucky, they find just the right people. They find the really good people who can wear many hats, who like working for a small business. And everything's rocking along just great, except all of a sudden somebody has an illness. The employee becomes ill or injured or a family member, or they have to take care of a child or an elderly parent or something like that, whatever might happen, or a spouse. And so their world is turned upside down. They don't necessarily have to quit working. They just may not be able to come to the office or come to the building where your business is every day, all day. They need some help with that. And thank God, Bill, we have the technology that allows us to do that. Everything that allows people to work from home is there right now, except what's between our ears. Our paradigms about management, our paradigms about what our offices ought to look like, where the work is created, we get hung up on that sometimes, don't we?
Well, that's really true. We're used to the four walls of our office, and there we can watch what's going on, and we can see our people, and we can see if they're busy, and if they're out of sight, then we get concerned about what are they really doing. And that's really one of the key issues about making telecommuting successful, is identifying which jobs can be performed off-site and which employees are suitable and effective enough that,
right.
that you can get good results from them. And really getting those issues addressed is the heart of making the telecommuting activity very successful for an organization.
Well, and what you've been talking to us about, and you've got some other tips too, is how to make sure that we as managers can get over this discomfort with having somebody working long distance and by dealing with some of the details. And why don't you help us with a couple more of those?
Define the job, define the results that you're looking for, define the degree or level or frequency of communication that you want to have from that individual, define specific activities that are going to be occurring, reporting issues that are going to be occurring, so that you have an element of control and you're getting the results back that you're concerned about and getting the information back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Another key concern is then selecting individuals who have the initiative, have the responsibility, have the capability to get up in the morning, go downstairs, or go into the office
right.
or wherever it is.
Be disciplined.
And start that work and start that work activity at 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever the work schedule is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and they're in there and they're doing that every day, and they're making those communications and they're getting that work activity going. So it does take an individual who does have that self-discipline, and part of the process of selecting candidates or individuals or employees for this type of work activity is to get individuals who demonstrate that capability.
I mean, look at the people who have buildings that are big enough, small business owners who have buildings that are big enough, that maybe some of their employees are in the same building with them, but they won't see them for 2 or 3 days.
That's true.
What's the difference in being at home?
It very literally, it can be very, very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, you can start this on a project kind of a basis. You've got a particular project activity. You can have one or two individuals doing this activity at an off-site location or working from home, and this particular activity is accomplished, and then they're back in their regular routine or their schedule. So you can test the waters that way. Other issues that may come up might be on a part-time basis where somebody works from home maybe 1 day a week or half a day a week or whatever an element or situation might be. And this can either accommodate the working environment or sometimes it may be done to accommodate the individual's personal schedule or health schedule or some other activity, some other issue that influences their availability for the work activity. So it's not like we're saying, okay, all your employees should work from home, but rather evaluate the circumstance, identify the need, and set up arrangements that accommodate that need as
Sometimes it's easier to get somebody to work at home than it is, if you're running out of space, than it is to add a new building, a new room to your building or to find more space. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today. The website is Hubbert.com. Two B's, two T's. Thank you, Bill. See you next time.
Glad to be here.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. He'll be back. I will be too, right after these messages with Karen Kerrigan. All the universe,
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.